Coming to you from St. Louis, I am Joshua Skirtu, and with me is Angela Skirtu, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist and a sex therapist. Hello, Angela.
Hello, Josh.
And today, what is our first topic? Or what is it? What is it?
Oh, it's about disability.
Oh, wait, what is the show called?
Oh, the show is about sex.
The show is about sex. What is it about?
I don't know. It's different every time.
I think it's about pottery this week.
Oh, sex and pottery.
Or it's sex and disability.
Indeed.
So let's go with that. Yeah, we're not starting over.
So disability.
So what kind of disabilities do you mean when you're working with a client who has disabilities and they come to you? What do they have and how do you help them?
Okay, so there's a variety of disabilities people can come to me with. And it's not that they're necessarily coming to me for the disability, but they're coming to me because they have a disability that affects their sex life. So
right.
The types of disabilities that they could have are MS. They could have chronic pain disorders. They could have they could be paraplegic. Mm-hmm. They could have a loss of a limb or multiple limbs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they could be, I don't know, there's quite a variety
a
of different disabilities people can have.
So it sounds like most of them are motor function disabilities is what you mostly work with.
Sure. And there can also be mental disabilities as well. Like
maybe we'll focus on the
motor function disabilities
so
for today.
Things like being paralyzed or having a neurological disorder like multiple sclerosis or having a pain disorder.
Yeah, and those things can affect a person's ability to have an erection.
Really?
To have
you're saying if I'm in constant pain that it might be hard to get it up?
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your brain is a very unique thing, and sometimes when it's focused on pain, it's hard for it to focus on pleasure. So one of the things that I do is I help couples to adjust for those disabilities and to re-experience pleasure despite either the pain or the disability.
Yeah.
A big part of what I have to do is teach people how to open up their sex lives and become a little more flexible with what they do so that they can be sexual in a variety of ways regardless of what their abilities are.
So you're saying bring more leather into it.
I mean, if they're into leather, then leather can be
leather
used.
It is.
But I mean, even...
So let's say somebody with a pain disorder, which is a little close to home because I actually have back problems. So how do you help a client with something like that where during sex they have pain just by moving? So guess what? During sex, it's going to probably make it really hard because you generally move around a little bit while you're having sex. Not always, though. Sometimes you can just lay there and wiggle, I guess.
Depends on if you're the top or the bottom.
So what are some of the solutions to having pain during sex?
Well, so I actually end up having to treat both the pain and the sexual piece of things. So for the pain, I teach them how to find their window of activity. And so one of the challenges...
What does that mean?
Well, so I'm going to explain. So one of the challenges with a pain disorder is that you need to be active enough to not cause pain through muscle atrophy. But you also can't be so active that you throw yourself, like throw your back out or throw your body into a tailspin.
Slip a disc.
Yeah, like where you ruin. So like there is a window or a, like basically where you can't go higher than this amount and you can't go lower than this amount in terms of movement. And so first I have to teach people to identify what that window of comfortable pain management is. And then within that window, then there are still things that I have to teach them to learn to relax and kind of set aside time with each other to be sexual and actually use their minds a little bit too. I think
use their brain.
Well, so a lot of people think of sex as that penetrative sex act, you know, where you have to kiss and make out and you can touch and then you can have penetrative sex.
Insertion.
And that's
success.
The only way sex can happen, right? And if you can get couples to be a little more flexible.
Right. Like doing the splits?
Well, I guess doing the splits, but really just opening up their sexual repertoire. So that sometimes maybe their intimacy is massaging each other.
That can be very
With baby oil, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. I love me some baby oil.
Or some massage oils, whatever,
Any
you know.
Oil. You could use olive oil. It doesn't matter. As long as you're just basted and ready to go in the oven.
Sure. Or including a bath. Like if you have chronic pain, using hot water or any hot anything tends to help with pain.
Not hot coals, but yeah.
Well, not hot coals. But you know what's interesting about pain, too, is that sometimes using pain in a different way sexually can change the experience of pain.
Like a little spanking?
Like spanking or like scratching or even like hot and cold play.
No.
The thing
what is
about
hot and cold play?
Well, like using ice and heating pack.
Oh, ice? I don't know about that.
Well, it's interesting. So, like, if you've ever heard of somebody who, when they give a blowjob, they put an ice cube in their mouth so that it kind of makes it a little bit chilly when you go down on somebody?
But it doesn't sound very appealing. Because to me, iciness is probably the last thing I would want.
Well, if you think of
but maybe some
pain
people do.
In terms of that nerve disorder, mm-hmm. what it does is it basically refocuses the brain on the more intense experience.
Oh,
and
I
so
see.
Using something like ice or heat can refocus the brain away from the pain.
Away from the back pain or away from the neck
pain. Yeah, away from whatever the pain is into something that is potentially pleasurable. Mm-hmm. And so actually experimenting with different types of touch can be very helpful for somebody who has something like MS or chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
Going outside of pain to maybe like people who have paraplegic and maybe loss of their ability to use certain parts of their bodies.
Maybe loss of movement.
Loss
of
movement. Well, there is mapping that you can do on the body where basically your nerves, where they go from the spine, where they start from the spine, they actually spread out across the chest, across the back, across the legs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can start to feel those different nerve pathways, like by massaging and exploring,
mm-hmm.
if I touch you in this way, does this cause any sort of change in the way you feel your
right.
sensations? And sometimes for people who struggle to get erections, if you learn which nerve
which
pathways
nerves.
Basically elicit that, you can get them to have an erection without necessarily doing a hand job or a
mm-hmm.
blow job by just using
sure.
The physical sensations in the body.
Well, I mean, anybody can rub you the right way and give you a little bit of erection. I don't
sure.
know if you've ever had a massage, but
massages,
if you've ever been a man and gone to get a massage and maybe they get a little too close,
handsy,
tansy, but no touching
no,
on the genital.
No, massage artists
they're
are usually
massaging
professional.
The inside of the thigh or the
yeah.
backs of the legs or the lower back
uh-huh.
or anywhere that's nearby any special parts.
You
know,
get the blood flowing,
give, yes.
you get an erection going,
sure.
or the blood flowing to the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, some of my clients who have lost use of their body from the waist down can still find ways to experience orgasm in other parts of their
mm-hmm.
body. Like they basically retrain their body to have an orgasm through their chest or through their back.
So I could have like a pinky orgasm?
Wow.
So I could train my body to say, next time you're going to come, you're going to just wiggle your little pinky. I'm
it's
like
a euphoria. An
sure.
orgasm is like a sense of euphoria.
Sense
so
of
you
euphoria.
Can experience that sense of euphoria in other parts of your
yeah.
body.
Right.
And your brain has a way of making up for loss.
Yeah.
And so there are plenty of my clients who have disabilities who've found new ways
to
have orgasm and that
yeah.
euphoria. But it
yeah.
does involve stepping outside of the box.
Right.
Meaning, you know, the sex box that you can't just do penetrative
right.
sex and
not
expect
the,
that to be perfect.
No, to be clear, not the sex box where you keep the dildos and the
oh, well,
whips
you could
and
definitely
chips.
Have that kind of
you
sex box.
You can stay inside that box while you're stepping outside this other box.
Absolutely.
So what box
there's
are we
lots
talk
of boxes.
About now?
Well, just the that the typical sexual experience where people kind of expect it to look one way. You've got
to
open up
sometimes
the doors
to
try new things.
Sometimes you have to modify it a bit.
Yeah.
So one thing with a pain disorder is that sometimes it hurts to have somebody jumping on top of you.
Yes, yes.
So what are some things you can do with that? Maybe some pillows, maybe
yep.
some, I was thinking like Mission Impossible style straps from the ceiling where you're kind of descending on top of your partner.
Well, they do have that. Was that a swing that you can extend from the ceiling?
Yeah. Oh, that exists.
I don't know if that would help or not, but I do know there's pillows like the wedge that
the wedge.
Puts you in different
yeah.
positions. Or if you don't have money for the wedge, because I think it's like a lot
you
of money,
just use pillows.
You can use real pillows and
mm-hmm.
just prop them on different sides. So for somebody who's crashing down on
right.
somebody with
so
a back pain,
let me
on.
Say, I have back pain. So a solution that I have had to come up with is having pillows everywhere. So when my wife is up there, you know,
on top,
I pile some
that.
Pillows on the sides so that she has a little bit of a platform to play with, so she doesn't have to be right on top, you know.
Yeah,
put
so the
too
knees are on the pillows.
She's not playing me like a drum necessarily. She's more tapping me a little bit, you know.
Yeah, so the center of gravity is a little higher
right.
on the pillows, so that
mm-hmm.
when I come cool. down,
right. And then he comes down too.
Oh yeah.
It's not as painful.
And there are other ways. So like doing things off the bed, certain chairs, like having a chair that doesn't have armrests.
Switching positions.
Switching positions.
Like just every 5 minutes say, change places. And then everybody run around the bed in the circles and then eventually find a place
like
where
a Chinese fire drill.
Right. Also, no, like Alice in Wonderland. You don't understand the reference? He says, change places. And then they run around and Alice is like, what's
going on? I was thinking of the Chinese fire drill where you get out of the car and you circle around
it. To Alice in Wonderland, the Disney movie. Did you never? I say that all the time. Anytime. I can't believe you didn't
understand. Look, I'm not as big of an Alice in Wonderland fan, and I am sorry.
I've seen that movie like twice.
Well, so again, so though, like, so that's changing positions and going to different penetrative sexual acts, but you can also change positions and switch to oral sex, using toys, doing hand jobs, just one person being focused on, just another person being focused on. Right. Anal.
Swings.
Yeah, and so like if
we
got to
get our Mission Impossible setup going, I think that would be great. I think our little dungeon down here will be a great place for it. But the problem with having something like that around is that once in a while, one of your kids is going to come into your bedroom and say, oh, Mommy and Daddy, can I ride on the swing? You have to say, no. Why did you leave that?
I think if people really have dungeons, they probably have a lock on that door, but who knows? Maybe it's just like a playroom when they're not using it for sex.
That's where you store all the toys, and then you bring out the adult toys when the kids are in bed.
No. I couldn't have, actually, the two would not work very well.
Our bedroom is our bedroom,
Yeah, because there's nothing, like when you think about kids, it's just completely separate,
I'm looking over here and there's a little baby kitchenette thing. I'm like, that is not hot.
That is the opposite of sexy. That makes me think of work.
We have a daughter, Olivia, she's two, and
she's
her toys are
sweet.
Everywhere. But she's really bad at cleaning up after herself. Let's be honest. 2-year-olds are terrible at it.
Well, I think that's a reasonable thing to talk about, like just making your bedroom a sanctuary or a dungeon a sanctuary, but like... Okay.
Your dungeon?
Your dungeon sanctuary.
I was joking.
Well,
but okay.
I know, but I was thinking about this. So this is important for couples.
Important parts of making your dungeon comfortable.
Important parts of like having a good sex life are just having a bedroom that's inviting. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen the show, I don't know if you've seen Hoarders, but there
these
people who have things on their bed and they don't even sleep on their bed. They sometimes sleep on the couch.
Well, their bed is their filing cabinet. Or they have a process, Angela. They know exactly where everything is. Is on that pile of
you know that's not true.
I do.
And then or they'll have a big pile of clothes in the corner in the bedroom, or there's like kids' toys
in
the bedroom.
Hold on, those are the clean clothes.
Those are the clean clothes that need to be put in the closet.
That never go in the closet.
They never go in there.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important for couples to talk to each other about how to make their bedroom a sanctuary, because it's very hard for some people to turn their mind off of the responsibilities if you see them in front of you.
Exactly. And you know, something that we did, we're way off the disability side, but anyway,
still
something
part.
We did is we made our bedroom about bedroom. That's it. It's only a place where we get dressed, we get ready in the morning, and we sleep at night, and we have our little fun.
And
at
it's
night.
A little playtime.
So that's it. It's only a space for us. There's not a TV in there. There's not a lot of toys. There's no toys in there. There's nothing to bring the kid in there at all. So
except
it's
for
our
the sex box. Those
not
toys
for the
are
kid.
There. No, but you said toys. I'm talking about the sex box toys.
Okay, bad timing. You have bad timing. That's all. Well, you'll hear it when we listen to it.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, my God.
He loves to make fun of my timing. It's bad. Whatever.
You have bad timing. You know what the most important thing about comedy is?
Timing.
You were supposed to cut me off. You don't know how that joke worked.
He also likes to make fun of my jokes. So anyhow, back to disability. Mm-hmm. The big thing to do is to learn to accommodate with each other. And actually, just like we were talking about, when you can be a little bit flexible with the pain, being willing to like shift things and go, like we said, to hand jobs, to oral sex, to using toys, or to just making it all about one person or all about the other person.
Yeah, take turns.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be two-way every time.
For the ladies, I suggest you're first. Because once we pop, the fun does stop. And that's not all the time, but a lot of times it is. Because once you blow your, yeah, yeah, blow your top, you're done.
Well, some guys have a refractory period that they can come back from.
I totally understand that.
And actually, women have a refractory period, too. It's just a little shorter.
It's about 7 seconds.
Yeah, well, yeah. We can have a little brief interlude as long as you go away from the clitoris for a time. And then you can come back and we can get multiple orgasms.
Yeah.
So, the next topic I kind of wanted to cover, if you're open to it, is sexual awkwardness,
well,
Josh.
Well, I think we should probably... Yeah, let's cover that a little bit. Let's go for it.
Okay.
So that's... We got a good thing on disability. What is this sexual awkwardness? I feel kind of awkward talking about it. I don't know what to say.
So a common thing that's happening in my sessions is that people are really worried to try new things because they're afraid it's going to be awkward. Mm-hmm. And... anytime you try something new, it's awkward.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I just kind of wanted to explore is, do you remember a time when you were sexually awkward and how did you work through it?
Oh, personal question.
For fun, though, you know, see, doesn't have to get too personal.
Something I was awkward about. I'd have to say, like, even the first time I kissed a girl or held a girl's hand, it was awkward. And it was... very awkward.
And how did you work through the awkwardness?
Probably intoxicants. Let's say that.
Oh, no.
No.
That's true. Some people try to work through it with alcohol or some kind of drug.
Oh, yeah.
Ideally, I wouldn't want that.
No. I'm kidding. I think it was really just, I just kind of jumped in there. Like, I was awkward at first and I just made it clear what my intentions were. Because I just sat really, really close to her. And over time, I started, you know, having my hand be a little closer to hers.
Uh-huh.
And then at one point, it was right next to hers, touching up against it. And this is over the span of like 30 minutes.
I was thinking then, like 30 days.
And then,
cute.
Oh, yeah, it was it was weeks before I got the balls to do that. And then after that... And then I finally just put my hand on top of hers and held her hand. And then she held back. So I knew she was interested. You know, but there's that awkwardness because you don't know if there's going to be rejection.
Yeah.
That's the big part of awkwardness is you don't know how the other person is going to react. Whether it's doing meeting a new person or even with your own sexual partner who you're very experienced with and bringing up a new thing that you might want to try. Like, hey, let's bring in hats. I think hats are going to be a good part of this. But I don't know if you're going to have a problem with hats and think I'm
Does
a weirdo.
Does she like pink hats? Like, blue hats?
Why would you bring hats into my bedroom? How dare you, sir? You can replace hats with anything there.
You know, you put out a good point there. I didn't think about the rejection piece, but that's the biggest thing that they seem to be afraid of is, you know, they're awkward and they don't want to be rejected. And the biggest thing I think
it's
both
fear.
Need to respect when they're trying to do something new is trying not to reject each other. That doesn't mean you can't... that doesn't mean you can't say no to some things that you're not interested in, but it may be that you talk about trying something new before you go into the action because you're more likely to have rejection if you just jump into the new thing.
Sure. Yeah, you don't want to surprise somebody with a forehead dildo. You want to kind of...
Or a big fist.
You want to kind of like maybe, hey, let's watch this little... funny fun film together. Oh, they have a dildo on their forehead. Would
what
you
do
ever
you
want to
think
try
about
that
dildo?
Yeah. And yeah, but that can be dangerous too, because if you're just randomly talking about other things, it may make your partner think that you are interested in that, and that may make them nervous if they're not interested in it. Honestly, we had that happen this week. Not going to say about what, but
well, we were just trying to explore different topics.
Sure, we talk about sex apparently a lot.
A lot of different sexual topics.
We might even start recording it one of these days. Just a wild idea.
Well, and I think the one thing that I've been getting my couples to do to just help out is to, like, a lot of what I ask is, what do you do when you're awkward in the rest of your life? And a lot of them will say, well, we make jokes. We are humorous.
Yeah.
And
I say,
oh, well, you can use that in sex.
I didn't realize that, but yeah, that's what I do too. I just make jokes during sex. For me, sex is not just, it's not always just serious and grinding and bumping. A lot of times we're making fun of the noises and sounds and weird things that are going on.
And we're playing. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think when couples learn that that's acceptable, then it makes it easier for them to awkwardly laugh through it.
So sometimes humor does come, but the other times you do curl up into a ball and cry. Or just avoid. You avoid. And that's what a lot of people do when they're awkward about a certain topic. Like people who are thinking about having sex for the first time, there's a little awkwardness to it. Sometimes people will be avoidant of it. You just, no, I don't want to do that. So how do you work through that?
Well, one of the things I try to get people doing initially is either talking playfully about sex or intellectually about sex. Right. I think that
what
depending
if you're not
on their
playful or intellectual?
Believe it or not, I've been able to get people to subscribe to one or the other. I think it depends on their personality style, but if you get them talking intellectually, some people are a little bit more logical, so if you get them talking intellectually, they can at least talk about it from kind of like a medical perspective, and
take
that helps them
back,
at least neutral. Yeah, like they're
subjective.
I can get them laughing and playing about it, that can make them be a little more flirtatious. But either of the two is better than the avoidance or the anger fighting situation. Mm-hmm. And it's just somewhere right in the middle. And what I can usually do is if I get them doing it intellectually, then I can get them to bounce between the two. And so those are the two types of conversational styles that I use. And it really does help people work through the awkwardness.
Yeah.
And then I have them listen to things like this podcast so that they're regularly learning about different topics and educating themselves so that they get more comfortable even with the topics of
being
sex.
Being able to talk about it. Like, honestly, listening to a podcast about sex and then with your partner.
Yeah.
And then talking about it afterward, especially if it covers a topic you're talking about, whether it's desire or whether it's, you know, dealing with a disability in sex, as we covered in the first part of this podcast, it's a great way of bringing it up. Because I have to say, like, with my back problems, it was tough to really talk about it with you.
It was, even would you say it was awkward?
It was awkward. Because even though my wife is a sex therapist, people still are going to take things personally
and
sometimes.
There's expectations.
And there's still expectations. You want your partner to just be in there and have fun, and you don't want to have to talk about it. But the reality is sometimes you have to sit down and just talk about it.
Well, and I think it's good to talk about it outside of the sexual experience, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes during it,
you can get rejection.
Feel rejection.
You're like, get off me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get rejection from that.
Exactly.
So it's better to bring it up beforehand.
Or after.
Or afterward. So you can say, you know, this was a little painful, maybe. Or this was, I don't feel like I got enough out of that, or whatever it is.
Or let's try this position because it might work a little better for me.
So you lay on the floor, and I'll hold the water hose over here, and we'll go from there. New position, everybody.
Yeah.
It's called the sprinkler.
Well, and I appreciate the tie back actually to disability because I think that it can be difficult for people to bring up their struggle with sex, especially if disability is involved, because it may feel like a weakness.
And even if it's not a general disability, some women have pain during sex, which is called
vaginismus, or we call it pelvic pain penetration disorder.
So
now
if it's a disorder, a disability that has to do with sex itself, guess what, that makes it even more heightened, because people are very sensitive about sex, because we want to get in there and perform and not be disabled. Nobody wants to have to deal with that during that. That's a time when you just want to feel good and feel happy and feel strong.
Yeah, and maybe escape from it a little bit at times.
Because you don't want to be sitting there while you're on top of your wife or the other way around and thinking about it, thinking about the disability or what the problem is. Because guess what? Now you're psyching yourself out. Now you're bringing something else in called performance anxiety.
Yeah. Well, and anytime you're having to manage something, it's hard to really focus on what's turning you on. Mm-hmm. You need two things to have good sex. You need to focus on what's erotic, and you need to relax. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to relax if you're lost in, is this working? Is my pain going okay? What do we do? Am I making you happy? Are you am I happy?
So not two things, 7,000 things.
It's quite a few things that you can get lost in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good. Well, I think that's all we have for today. Be sure to subscribe and comment, or even send us an email, or you can visit Angela at her website.
My website's www.therapistinst.com.
And she has an office in Baldwin, Missouri. Thank you. Good night.